All right. Well, you know what I'm going to say? So here we go. Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the book of Shemot, or Exodus, chapter 25. And this is the interesting introduction, because it says, "And Yahuwah spoke unto Moshe, and he said," so here come the words in red. Now, notice that there's not anything that's unique in there. Those words begin a whole lot of chapters. So, what then? "Speak unto the children of Israel." Well, he says that fairly frequently, too. And then it says that they take for me an offering. So here is the unique word, and that's where the title, the name of the portion comes from, terumah. That they take for me an offering. "Of every man whose heart makes him willing, you shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you'll take of them: gold, silver, and brass, blue, purple, and scarlet, fine linen, and goat's hair, rams, skins, that is, dyed red, seal skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense, onyx stones, stones to be set for the ephod, and for the breastplate, and let them make for me a sanctuary, a mishkan, that I may dwell literally in them, among them. And according to all that I show you, the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of all the furniture thereof, this is how you shall make it." So basically, he is going to show them the blueprints for what these things are, enough information to actually build them. And you know, it's very difficult to describe something unless somebody really knows already what you're talking about, so that it could be built, without a lot more information than you're going to see in the text. And that's part of the key as we go through a whole lot of this here. "And they shall make," he says right up front here, "an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits is the length of it, and 1.5 cubits the breadth thereof, and 1.5 cubits the height thereof." So a cubit, remember, is the distance from approximately the average person's elbow to the fingers. And for that reason, it's not exactly what you call an extremely precise unit of measure, at least as far as we know. But approximately, a cubit's about 18 inches. So 2.5 cubits, about 3.5 feet or thereabouts, and 1.5 cubits wide and high. "You're going to overlay this with pure gold. So it's going to be beaten thin, inside and outside, and then build a crown of gold around it. And then you'll cast 4 rings out of gold, put them on the 4 feet thereof, and 2 rings on one side, 2 rings on the other side. And what are these for? They're to carry it. You'll make staves out of acacia wood, so long poles, and overlay them with gold. And then you'll put those staves into the rings on the side of the ark, and that is used to bear the ark. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark," it says. Now, this is an interesting Rashi comment, and it basically just kind of adds a little bit of understanding. "They shall not be taken out." And Rashi's comment is, never. Not ever. They stay. "You shall put this into this ark, which I give you, the testimony, which I'll give you too. And then you'll make an ark cover out of pure gold. 2.5 cubits the length, and 1.5 cubits the breadth. So it's the same size, fits on top. And you'll make 2 cherubim of gold. Of beaten work you shall make them at the 2 ends of the ark cover." So the cherubim are the species of this angelic host. And lots of interpretations as to what it looks like. You've probably seen pictures of it. But they have wings and they have faces. And what we're going to see here is that they face each other. "Make 1 cherub on one end and another cherub on the other end of 1 piece with the ark cover." So they're literally a single piece. "Make the cherubim and the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubim will spread their wings on high, screening the ark cover with their wings, their faces toward one another. Toward the ark cover shall the faces of the cherubim be." Now, here's another Rashi comment, and this is kind of interesting. It makes it a little bit harder. The cherubim, you notice, then face inward. So they have their backs to the outside, to the 2 sides of the ark. And what the comment says is this is how they carried it, too. The people, like the cherubim, would face the center of the ark. So it's probably not the easiest way to carry it, but I guess they got good at it after a while. "Put the ark cover on the top of the ark, and in the ark you'll put the testimony that I give you. There will I meet with you, and I'll speak with you from above the ark cover between the 2 cherubim upon the ark of the testimony, and all the things which I'll give you in commandment unto the B'nai Israel. Then you make a table out of acacia wood, 2 cubits the length, and a cubit the breadth thereof. So it's a 2-by-1 cubit table, and 1.5 cubits high. And you overlay this with pure gold, too, and make a crown of gold around about it, so it's got kind of a rim on top, and then make unto it a border, a handbreadth round about, and a golden crown on the border round about. Then you're going to make for it 4 rings of gold. Put those rings on the 4 corners on the feet. Close by the border is where the rings will be, 4 places for the staves that will be used to bear the table. You make those staves out of acacia wood, overlay them likewise with gold, that the table may be borne with them. Then make the dishes for it, the pans thereof, and the jars thereof, and the bowls thereof, things to pour out of, and of pure gold shall these be made. Then you set upon this table showbread before me always. And you make a menorah. Now, some of the English renderings actually say candlestick. I always thought that was kind of irritating. The word is menorah. That's what this thing is. And it may not have an English translation because this is one of those examples of a place where the word is what the word is. It's a menorah. Anyway, it's of beaten work shall the menorah be made. Its base, its shaft, its cups, its knops, its flowers, all of one piece. Now, the metallurgists and the technologists will say this is quite a feat. To beat a piece of art like this and put all these pieces on it and essentially not cut it into pieces and then assemble it. It is a single piece of beaten work, and that was quite a challenge. There'll be 6 branches from the sides. There are 3 on one side, 3 out of the other side. 3 cups made like almond blossoms in 1 branch, knop and a flower. 3 cups made like almond blossoms on the other branch, knop and a flower. So you'll have 6 branches going up out of the menorah. And in the menorah, 4 cups made like almond blossoms, knops and flowers. And a knop under 2 branches of one piece with it. So basically, there's kind of a Y formation being described here. A knop under 2 branches, one piece, and knop under 2 branches of the other piece. And so total, it divides twice, and you get 6 branches going up out of the menorah. The knops and their branches are of one piece with it. The whole thing is one beaten work of pure gold. Now, there's one other interesting thing here. And, of course, we don't know what the level of purity is, but any metallurgist will tell you, and most of us that have dealt with gold, pure gold, will know that it's actually pretty soft. It used to be one of the ways you test a gold coin was bite it 200 years ago when we had honest money. And you can leave an indent because gold is not, it's ductile, it's malleable, it's fairly soft. And one of the things that the metallurgists will say, well, if it was really that pure of gold, and it was built the way it's described, it would sag under its own weight, which is interesting. So obviously there's a little bit of miraculous thing going on here in order not just for this thing to be made, but for it to stay once it is made. You shall make the lamps 7. They light the lamps thereof to give light over against it. The tongs, the snuff dishes that go with it, they are also of pure gold. A talent of pure gold shall it be made with all these vessels. Now, talent is a big measure, and I'm not sure if we know exactly the number. I think a talent of gold is a little bit less than a talent of silver, but I've always thought a talent is on the order of somewhere in 50, 60, 70 pounds of silver. That's about the size of a bowling ball. A talent of gold would probably be slightly smaller, but this is still quite a large thing, heavy thing, and if you understand the price and the value of gold today, quite an amazing thing as well. And see that you make them after the pattern, which is being shown you in the mount. Moreover, now we're going to talk about the Mishkan itself, the tabernacle as it's translated, but I like to just call it what it is. It's the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the wilderness. Make it with 10 curtains, fine twine linen, blue, purple, and scarlet, the cherubim, with the work of the skillful workman, you shall make them. So it'll have these, like embroidery on it. The length of each curtain is 28 cubits. The breadth of each curtain, 4 cubits, roughly 6 feet wide. All the curtains have the same measure. 5 curtains coupled together with one another. The other 5 curtains will be coupled together with one another. You make loops of blue upon the edge of 1 curtain that's the outermost in the first set. Likewise, the edge of the curtain that's outermost in the second set. 50 loops shall you make in 1 curtain, 50 loops in the edge of the curtain in the second set. The loops are set opposite to one another. Then make 50 clasps out of gold so that the curtains can be coupled one to another with those clasps, that the whole Mishkan may be one echad, one unity. Then you shall make curtains of goat's hair for a tent over the Mishkan. 11 curtains you make for that. The length of each curtain is 30 cubits, the breadth 4 cubits. The 11 curtains will have the same measure. Then you shall couple 5 curtains by themselves, 6 curtains by themselves, and then double over the 6th curtain in the forefront of the tent, and make 50 loops on the edge of one curtain that's outermost, 50 loops in the other curtain outermost in the second set, and 50 clasps, now they're out of brass, put the clasps into the loops so that the tent is coupled together that it may be a single piece. As for the overhanging part that remains of the curtains on the tent, the half curtain that remains, you shall hang over the back of the Mishkan. And the cubit on the one side, the cubit on the other side, which remains over in the length of the curtains of the tent, hang those over the sides on this side and on that side in order to cover it. So the tent will be covered with these curtains made out of goat's hair. Then make a covering for the tent out of ram's skins dyed red, and a covering of seal skins above. And you shall make the boards for the tabernacle out of acacia wood standing up. So essentially what we've got here is a thing that has multiple layers for, I guess you'd say, security and also for stability and protection from the elements. Boards for the tabernacle out of acacia wood standing up. There'll be 10 cubits, the length of a board, and a cubit and a half, the breadth of each board. So these boards are basically 180 inches. That's a pretty good-sized board. And about 2 feet wide. 2 tenons will be in each board, joined one to another, and make for all the boards of the tabernacle the same thing. Then make the boards of the tabernacle 20 on the south side, 40 sockets of silver under those 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for its 2 tenons, 2 sockets on another board for its 2 tenons. So think of this as kind of like 2 feet that are going to go into a socket that sits on the ground and the boards sit in them. For the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, also 20 boards, 40 sockets of silver there, 2 on one, 2 on another. And for the hind part of the tabernacle to the west, you make 6 boards, 2 boards making the corners of the tabernacle and the hind part. They'll be doubled beneath, and in like manner they'll be used to complete the top under the first ring. This is how it'll be for both and for the 2 corners. Then there'll be 8 boards and their sockets of silver, 16 sockets total, 2 under each board. And you make bars out of acacia wood, 5 for the boards of one side of the tabernacle, and 5 for the other side of the tabernacle, 5 bars for the boards of the tabernacle on the hind part to the west. Middle bar in the midst of the boards, which passes from end to end. And then overlay all of these boards with gold, make their rings of gold for holders for the bars, and overlay the bars with gold. Then rear up the tabernacle, he says, according to the fashion which has been shown to you in the mount. And then you'll make a veil out of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twine and linen, with cherubim, the work of these skillful workmen, shall it be made. And hang it upon the 4 pillars of acacia that are overlaid with gold, their hooks of gold, and the 4 sockets of silver. And you hang up the veil under those clasps, bring it thither within the veil, the ark of the testimony. So the ark's going to go on the inside, the very middle, or the very inner part. The veil divides between you and the holy place, and the most holy place. So the place that's called Kadesh, and the Kadesh Kodeshim, the most holy, or the holy of holies, sometimes it's rendered. Then you put the ark cover on the top of the Ark of Testimony in the Kadesh Kodeshim, in the central most holy place. Set the table outside the veil, and put the menorah over against the table on the south side of the Mishkan to the south. Put the table on the north side. Then make a screen for the door of the tent of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twine linen, the work of the weaver in colors. And make for the screen 5 pillars of acacia, overlay them with gold, their hooks of gold, and cast 5 sockets of brass for those. Now we're going to kind of move from the inside out and talk about the other elements here. Now we're talking about the altar. Make the altar out of acacia wood, 5 cubits long, 5 cubits broad. So basically it's about 7.5 feet or so. It's 4 square, so it's square, and the height thereof 3 cubits, so it's pretty tall. Make upon the horns of it 4 corners, so put horns on the corners. The horns will be of a single piece with it, and they will all be overlaid with brass. You shall make its pots to take away its ashes, its shovels, basins, flesh hooks, and fire pans. All the vessels for this shall be made of brass. Make for it a grating out of a network of brass. So basically there's a fire grating that's going to go over the top of it. Upon the net you shall make four brazen rings in the four corners thereof, and put under the ledge round the altar beneath, that the net may reach halfway up the altar. Then make staves for the altar out of acacia wood. Overlay those with brass. The staves will be put into rings, and the staves are on the two sides of the altar, just like we saw with the table and with the ark, and that's how we'll carry it. Hollow with planks shall you make it, as it's been shown to you in the mount. This is how you shall make it. And then let's make the court of the tabernacle, the Mishkan. For the south side to the south, there'll be hangings for the court out of fine twine linen, 100 cubits long for one side. The pillars thereof, 20, sockets 20, out of brass. The hooks of the pillars and their fillets shall be of silver. Likewise, for the north side in length, there'll be hangings 100 cubits long, 20 pillars and sockets, 20 also, of brass, the hooks of the pillars, and their fillets of silver. Now, notice one other thing here. As we move essentially from the inside out, we see this progression of metals. Essentially, it's gold on the inside, silver with the connection pieces as we move outward, and then finally brass for those things that are associated with the fire and the outside courts. As for the breadth of the court on the west side, there'll be hangings, 50 cubits, 10 pillars, 10 sockets. For the breadth of the court on the east side, likewise, 50 cubits. The hanging is on the one side of the gate, 15 cubits, 3 pillars, 3 sockets. Other side, again, 15 cubits, 3 pillars, 3 sockets. For the gate of the court will be a screen, 20 cubits, of blue, purple, and scarlet, fine twine linen, the work of the weaver in colors, and 4 pillars and 4 sockets. The pillars of the court round about shall be filleted with silver, their hooks of silver, the sockets of brass. We're almost to the end of the description here for this week's Torah portion of the reading. And we're going to essentially conclude with this discussion about the very outside, the court. The length of the court is 100 cubits, the breadth 50, and the height 5, out of fine twine linen, their sockets of brass. All the instruments of the tabernacle and all the service thereof, all the pins thereof, and all the pins of the court, again outside, shall be of brass. And with that, the Torah portion and the reading ends.